talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 94. Got William here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, William?
Pretty good. I have a lot of things to talk about.
And I've got a bunch of things to talk about, too.
That's
exciting.
Can I share my experience with Portugal?
Yes, that's one of the first things I want to talk about was on last week's episode, I just had Henry on, and we talked about what Henry thought of our trip to Portugal. So now I'd like to hear what you thought of our trip to Portugal.
It was so awesome. Like, I was showing my friend at lunch, like, a bunch of pictures of in Portugal, and I was like, see that? That's a castle. There's a castle in, like, pretty much every single town that we visited.
Yeah, there were lots of old castles.
The orange juice there tasted really good.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, when I got home, I got fresh squeezed orange juice at a restaurant after I got home, and it wasn't nearly as sweet. Even though it was like orange juice and it was good, it wasn't that. For some reason, the oranges in Portugal are super sweet.
Yeah, they're really good, and they keep them like really pulpy too, so they taste very, I don't know, natural, I guess. But there was lots of chocolate, lots of orange juice. We toured a lot of different palaces and castles. The architecture there was amazing. It made America look like crazy bland. Even the McDonald's looked really cool.
Yeah.
I actually took a picture of one of the McDonald's. I took so many pictures there that I actually kind of learned like how to take really good pictures. Like, I already know a little bit about it. Like, I did a merit badge about it in Scouts, but.
But this was the first time you had been on vacation and you had like a smartphone with a camera in it, right?
Yeah. We got to tour like underground caverns. The only thing I didn't like about it was...
When did we do underground caverns? At the Quinta de... I can't pronounce it very well. It's like the Quinta de Regaleira.
The only thing I didn't like about it was
It's in Sintra. It's like this cool castle and like underground tunnels. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but trying to sleep on the plane from Georgia to Portugal was kind of the worst feeling ever.
Did you get much sleep?
I got some, but
I don't think I slept at all. I think you slept a little bit.
Yeah.
I think probably Henry slept the most.
And I still had jet lag. When I got back, I think on the next day, I like woke up at like 3:45 or 3:15 or something. I couldn't go back to sleep. So like at 6 o'clock, I just got up and studied and got ready.
Yeah.
But
what was some of the favorite things you saw in Portugal?
The favorite place that I was at was a chocolate festival because it was great weather. We got to have chocolate and there's a castle in the background. But we were kind of used to that by then.
That was a cool little city. It was the city of Abadouche.
Yeah, we got
to. We talked about it on the podcast last time, but it was a really cool little city because it was really old and it was surrounded by a castle wall.
Yeah, we got to walk the castle wall until we stopped to tour a castle.
What'd you think about walking the castle wall?
It was kind of scary because...
Kind of freaked you out?
Yeah, on the left, there was like nothing to stop you from falling.
Yeah, so like on one side, as we were walking along, it was like on the right side, there was like this castle wall. And it looked like when little kids draw castles and they draw the little battlements that go up and down. It looked just like that, right? It was made out of stone.
Yeah, like there was a couple of places where there were supports, but...
Yeah, and outside the castle walls, it was really pretty. It was like this really kind of rolling hill countryside. But inside the castle, it was like this walled city. But so as you're walking along someplace, it was probably like, I don't know, only 4 feet wide. Maybe a little bit wider than that, but not much. But there was no railing or anything. So if you wouldn't look where you were going and walked off, some places you'd drop like 30 feet or something, 40 feet.
Yeah. But the one, when we fly back... we had to fly for like the entire day and realizing that I did so much stuff on the way back. Like I finished Thor Ragnarok. I, made an animation and got halfway through another animation on my phone. I played with my phone until it died, I think. I think I beat Plants vs. Zombies. And when I came back, just realizing that I did all of that stuff in one plane flight was just, like, crazy to me.
Yeah, it was a long time to be on a plane, huh?
Yeah. I feel like I used to think that I liked plane rides more than car trips, but I think I changed my mind now.
And that plane ride, too, like, we left in the morning and we were traveling west, so the sun was up the whole time. Like, it never got dark.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's just one really long day.
Some people didn't like spending a night in France. I liked it, I was kind of creeped out by it just because there's like a few sketchy people there, but.
Yeah, right around the Eiffel Tower, there were some people that were, they looked like they wanted to swindle you or something, like they were trying to get you to buy stuff, and they were kind of aggressive.
Yeah.
And we had already been warned that like around the Eiffel Tower, there's a whole bunch of pickpockets, so be careful, like hold on to your stuff because people will try to take your stuff from you.
It was really fun though. We went to a street vendor thing kind of where we got to have like crepes with chocolate and bananas in them.
Yeah.
And we got to see the freaking Eiffel Tower, so.
And that was pretty cool. Like every 10 minutes or so, it would like all start to sparkle with all these like bright lights.
Yeah, we were going to tour Notre Dame, but we were too tired.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we already saw the Eiffel Tower, so that's good enough.
And we were tired, and it was cold, and it was snowy.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things from Portugal, one of my favorite memories, everything we did was pretty awesome. But for some reason, I remember, like, one day we came home, and Mom was a little bit, she wasn't feeling well that day. I think she got a little bit sick. And so she stayed in the hotel, the apartment, but just me and you and Elizabeth and Phoebe and Henry decided to go walk and to go to a burger restaurant. And it was probably about 15 minutes away, but it was kind of fun to just walk across the city with all you kids. It was a really good burger restaurant, eat a burger. And then we walked and we got a sandwich for Mom at a different restaurant.
Yeah, we kind of.
And then we walked downtown and we got ice cream downtown.
Yeah, we toured the Pink Street very briefly until I figured out that was kind of sketchy.
Kind of a sketchy there. There's this area called the Pink Street, and it's got some kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Especially at nighttime. During the day, I don't think it would be as sketchy, but at night, it was a little bit sketchy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like whenever cities are big enough, like, they're always going to have sketchy areas.
Yeah. I don't think it was dangerous, but it was a little bit a party area for not kids.
Party.
Yeah. And, but it was fun just, even though it was like really late at night, it was fun just walking the city streets with all you kids and just seeing everything. And other than the Pink Street, most of downtown, Lisbon was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know why I like this so much, but I liked, we kind of had four meals on the last day just because like we ended up, because of the time change, we ended up eating at a time that would be like midnight for us. So we kind of had like an extra meal, but we went to, I think it was called like the something street, like that mini restaurant at the airport. I forgot what it was called, but
it was like Corner Bakery, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I just you guys went to Corner Bakery and we went to Bojangles, which is like a fried chicken place.
Yeah. Me and Mom, I don't know why I like this so much. Me and Mom just got to split food and just talk about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy long day. That wasn't my favorite part of the vacation. I think I enjoyed everything we saw more.
And then the last flight back was like an hour and a half, but I got to occupy myself partly by looking out the window and partly by working on geometry dash level, and it felt like nothing in comparison. When we flew up into the air, like there's kind of like two different layers of clouds. Like there's ones in the very top that kind of look like a background, and the ones that you can see moving, but that the lower ones look like this like blanket of snow when you went up. It was really cool.
Yeah. Anything else from Portugal that stands out, like from when we were actually in Portugal?
It was all really cool. I liked waking up in the morning and hiking up to the top of Portugal was cool. Since it's kind of, Lisbon's kind of on like a bunch of different mountains and different elevations, so.
Yeah, so there's one place where our apartment was. So our apartment was right across from Lisbon Cathedral, and you could kind of go around the cathedral and up a short walk up a hill, and you kind of got up to where there was this balcony, and you could see over the city and over the river. Yeah. That was kind of fun, huh?
Touring all the cathedrals was cool.
What did you think of when we went to the city of Évora? There was a chapel in a church that was made out of bones and skulls.
That was cool. I have to admit,
cool or was it creepy or was it both?
It was both. I have to admit, the tour, I was kind of standing around for a lot of it because there's a lot of explanations, which I kind of didn't really have the patience for, but the rest of it was really cool.
Yeah, we got a tour guide, which was, it was kind of cool because we learned a lot of things about Evora, but I think it was made it a little bit slow because the explanations were really long.
Yeah.
So if we did it all again, I'm not sure I would do it, especially with all the kids. I might just want to see the things we saw without the long explanations.
Yeah, I actually...
But it was cool to learn a lot of stuff, too.
I actually... This may sound slightly rude, but I kind of prefer the way America makes their hot chocolate over Portugal.
Oh, really?
I mean, they have good
hot
chocolate.
I really like the super thick hot chocolate.
I mean, it just kind of tastes... I don't know. I like American hot chocolate slightly more, but I don't know if that's racist or not.
Well, it's not racist. It just means you like prefer one over the other. But I really liked the really thick. I don't know, maybe just because it was different, but I really liked the super thick hot chocolate that they served sometimes in Portugal.
Yeah, the food they served there actually wasn't too different from American food. Like, they still had like the normal type of like deli food, I guess, that they serve in America. They had a lot of sardines, but I bit into a sardine that was way, way too bitter, and it was stuck. That bitter taste stuck in my mouth for like 5 minutes, and I didn't have a sardine again.
Yeah, I think that was the very first day we were in Portugal. We stopped at this Portuguese restaurant, and all the food there was really good, except for the grilled sardines were not that good. In fact, the waiter kind of apologized and said that he took it off the bill because the sardines just weren't that good.
Yeah, the people there were really nice. There's this one person who ran this like Moroccan restaurant who was like super nice, and she sent us home with recipes, and she had really good food though.
Yeah,
after too, and
that was fun. There was this little restaurant. I can't remember the name. It was something about orange. I will look it up. But it was a Moroccan restaurant in Lisbon. And the whole restaurant was basically run by this one lady. Like, she was the hostess, she was the waitress, she was the cook. So it was a little restaurant, and there were only like maybe like 5 tables in the whole restaurant, and we were at one of them. But she was super friendly, and the food was really good.
Yeah. And she even, I think she must have used like passion fruit more recipes, and she like gave us passion fruit to try out.
Yeah. She like let us scoop a passion fruit out with a spoon and try it.
Yeah, just for free.
Just so
and
we could try it.
She had like the best chocolate cake ever. Mom really liked the flan too. And we just got to have like a good, just like family dinner.
It was called Flor de Laranja, which means like orange flower. Flor de Laranja in Lisbon. So if you're ever in Lisbon, check it out. You probably need reservations because it's a really small restaurant. But I just called and she spoke great English and made a reservation while we were there. It was really good. Moroccan food is really tasty. And Portuguese food is tasty. I ate so much there. I think I gained a little bit of weight, even though we were walking everywhere and probably walked over 10 miles a day.
Mm. Well, I don't know. But yeah, it was really cool. And 2 other things I need to talk about. First of all, I was getting home from I think like last week, maybe the week before, I had finished up a orchestra movie night where he saw National Treasure, and I was waiting for Dad to pick me up, and I had set down my stuff and like ran ahead to wait for Dad's car to pull up, and suddenly I looked behind me and the wind blew like 50 different papers out of my like big binder at once, and it was blowing it everywhere. And I had to, like, chase after them, like, while simultaneously more and more stuff was flowing out of it. It was really stressful. Luckily, there are some people nearby that are able to help me and be really nice.
Yeah, so when I got there just a few minutes later, you just had a big armful of papers.
Yeah.
And I just dumped an armful of papers inside the car.
But, yeah, they're really nice people to help out. This one of the papers actually ended up landing on the roof. I didn't get all the papers. I just got most of them. So one of my probably, hopefully, graded assignments is on the school roof now.
Oh, really?
But I mean, it'll probably blow off eventually, considering how strong those winds were. Like, I literally had to run after the papers, and they kept on blowing the other way.
But it's not homework that you needed to hand in. It was something that had already been graded.
Yeah, but I had to run after the papers to keep up with them.
Yeah,
the
wind that's was so stressful. Strong.
It was really stressful. But, because just, like, watching my binder just completely explode.
Yeah.
I mean, after I gather all my stuff, I was like, okay, well, nothing that bad happened since I have most of my stuff. It was actually a really quick way for me to force myself to get organized. So that was actually nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that I kind of plan to talk about on podcast. So there's probably some people out there listening to this that are in middle school that want to get better grades but don't know how. That was kind of me in the middle of eighth grade. And so I prepared a list of certain ways to do really well in school.
All right. So let's hear, this is William's tips for doing better in middle school. How many tips do you have?
It's actually titled Will's Super Effective Guide to School, TM.
Will's Super Effective Guide to School.
TM.
Trademarked. All right.
So first of all, grades, if you think that grades don't matter in middle school, that becomes like a thing for people in like the second semester of eighth grade. If you think that you're just going to start working hard in high school, don't think that, because if you start working hard in middle school, it'll be easier to work hard in high school. So first of all, don't procrastinate. Procrastinating.
Just do it!
Ah, that startled me.
Let your dreams be dreams.
Okay.
So don't procrastinate.
Procrastinating is...
Just do it!
Procrastinating is extremely evil, and you may think that won't affect your grades. It can actually make your work rushed. It's much easier to just divide up your homework. Don't try to do it in the first day ever either, because that brings up the same issue. But just divide up your homework so you have an equal amount of homework each day.
And this is what you've learned because you never procrastinate, right?
Okay, moving on.
This is what you've learned because you've learned that when you do procrastinate, it's not the best.
Yeah. I ended up with mediocre grades for myself.
And you end up, like, not getting much sleep because you leave it off for the last minute.
Yeah, it affects your sleep, and sleep can help you get your grades.
All right, so that was your second tip. Your first tip was what?
No, that was my first tip.
Oh, that was your first
tip. I was just at the beginning, I was just stating how grades do matter in middle school.
Oh, that's right.
Plus, they
so
can help
your,
you, like,
your first tip was don't procrastinate, just divide up your work and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's
and number
your second
two
tip?
Is study, like...
Number two.
You didn't do that for number one.
All right.
Number one.
Was don't procrastinate.
Number two.
Study. Even if you think there are no concepts, you still need to drill it into your head. You don't have to study like every single day since you start learning something, but like I'd say the week within a test, try to like divide up your studying so that way you can get it like daily in your brain.
So and even also, if you don't have a homework assignment, you still need to kind of go over it and study it if you've got a test coming up. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Cramming isn't going to always help, partly because there's some classes that will just like add on more and more stuff.
Okay.
And then...
Number three.
Stay organized. In sixth and seventh grade, I thought that organization didn't matter. It does matter because sometimes you can sit down your stuff and the wind will make your papers explode.
Yeah.
But also you can just lose stuff and end up having to do something late and do something all over again. It's just so much easier.
So try to keep everything organized.
Yeah. And number four, I was actually talking to my friend about this.
Number four.
A lot of people say that like stress is good to help you get good grades. I disagree. I think you shouldn't not care about your grades. But the thing is, you need to, if you see that you get a bad grade, you definitely shouldn't give up, because that pretty much always doesn't mean that you're not going to get your satisfactory grade.
You want to know what I think about stress?
What?
I think a little bit of stress is helpful because it helps motivate you. Like a little bit of stress is okay because it kind of helps you want to get your stuff done. If you don't have any stress at all, you're like, I'm not going to worry about it. But if a little bit of stress is helpful to motivate you, but too much stress can be the opposite. Like if you're too stressed out, then you just can't get anything done. So you want like just the right amount of stress.
Yeah. Well, I think you should be concerned, but not necessarily stressed. Like, be aware and be thinking, okay, I might need to work slightly harder in this class now.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
If you care, then that will make so much more difference.
Mm-hmm.
This does take practice. It when I actually learned how to like actually get good grades, it took like effort and even a bit of time. It's not really something that you just like learn how to do all at once, which brings back to the point that you can't just decide to work hard when you get to high school and just not work hard at all in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
It can take a bit to establish a work ethic. So overall, like bottom line, it's not about being smart. Kids who say like, oh, well, don't do that because there's kids who are very smart that go to this class and get such bad grades, but it's not about being smart.
Yeah.
And then I have a couple of tips for social things because this is something I kind of talk about from experience because we live in a place that's like growing crazy fast. There's been new schools and people getting transferred literally every other year. But sometimes it can be hard to make friends if you just got transferred to a new school or just in general. I think you can be outgoing and you can be a nice person, but other than that, I don't think you should stress out too much about how much friends you have. I think if you like try to force that kind of thing, then not as many people are going to want to be friends with you. So it's just not really something that you should like freak out about.
Yeah, that's fair. I think you should be outgoing and friendly to everyone. And, you know, if you become friends, that's cool. If maybe they just think you're a nice person, but they're not necessarily become your friends, that's okay too.
Yeah. I mean, if you just can't get any more friends, then that's not necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. And also don't cancel.
Is this your last tip?
Yes.
Number six.
It's actually number two since it's a different section, but whatever.
Well, you had four in the first one, so let's call it number six.
So yeah, don't cancel going to fun activities to do homework because instead just work slightly harder and distribute your work so that you'll have that free time to go to whatever fun activity it is. I feel like if you just never do anything fun, then you'll just lose motivation to work hard in school. So like for example, if you got invited to your birthday party and there's a test coming up, instead just like study really hard before and after that birthday party, so that way you can make up for that time.
Because
I think you need to work hard in middle school, but also, I mean, it's okay if you have fun from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be too serious. You don't want to be someone who doesn't know how to have fun when you're a kid, because
yeah,
having fun is a big part of being a kid. You got to relax sometimes.
Yeah.
And so you want to... sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You had a few more things to say?
Yeah, just finally, getting good grades doesn't just make you get good grades. It also just, if you can get your school life together like this, it doesn't just give you good grades. It also just, and I'd speak from experience, it like boosts your confidence level. It just makes you like generally happy and peaceful because it just like feels so much less stressful.
Mm-hmm.
When I was struggling to get my work done, I was kind of like a bit more like introverted and just like generally kind of like on edge. And I mean, sure, you could argue that all eighth graders are going to be on edge sometimes, but getting your school life together is like the best feeling in the world. I would highly recommend it. It is 100% William approved.
Those are some good tips.
Thanks.
So can I talk a little bit about what I did this week?
Sure.
So the first part of this week, I went to a legal conference. And it was like a conference that was put on by this large accounting firm for a bunch of people who are lawyers for big companies. So I'm a lawyer for a big company. So there were a lot of other people that were at this conference that were also kind of what they call in-house counsel. So it was like the lawyer that works inside the company. And I got to know a lot of people. It was the place it was at was this huge hotel that was owned by the accounting firm. And what was cool about the hotel is like all throughout the hotel, there was like food everywhere, like little snack stations. This is the part I told you guys about that you were excited about. Like it looked like a big hotel, except there's no swimming pool. There was no golf course. It was all just for business. But, like every now and then there'd be like this place that it was like a little shop that sells stuff, except instead of selling stuff, you could just go in there and get something. So you could just go get a soda and a bag of chips or like snacks Or there would be like little snack stations all throughout the building. Like there was one place where they had like a little dispenser that had like nuts, like mixed nuts, or a dispenser that had Jelly Bellies. You could just put Jelly Bellies into a cup and eat them, like as much as you wanted.
Which Jelly Bellies are kind of like the best candy ever, so.
Which is kind of dangerous. And the food there was really good. You know, they fed us the whole time we were at the conference. But the funnest thing I did there, it was really actually really busy. So, like, I had to wake up early because breakfast started at 7 o'clock and the workshop started at 8 o'clock. And then they had events that went, like, clear through to, like, 9:30 at night. So it was pretty long. And then after that, people would kind of, you know, visit and talk and stuff. But the funnest thing I did was this one night I was at the conference. They told us, they said, all right, well, everyone be at the ballroom, in front of the ballroom at 6:30. And at 6:30, we're going to open the doors, but you can't go in the ballroom until we tell you. And so we thought, well, that's weird. You know, what are they going to do? And we all gather in front of this ballroom. It's this giant ballroom. And finally, at 6:30 comes, they open the doors and we walk in. And it's like all along both walls, there are these little cooking stations. In the middle of the ballroom were these big buffet tables that were covered in ingredients. And they told us that it was going to be a chili cook-off. And we had 5 minutes to plan it and half an hour to cook the chili. And then they were going to grade the chili and see who's were the best. So they put us in teams, like with people, some of the people I knew, other people I didn't know. They just put us together in a team. And it was really fun because I really like to cook. And so as soon as I got my team, I was like, you know what? I know how to make chili. So let me make the chili. You guys can help, but I'm going to make the chili. And so I made this list on my phone of everything I wanted, like all the ground beef and spices and beans and onion and garlic and everything. And everyone went and got the stuff, and we gathered it really fast. Like everyone was kind of in a race to get everything. We gathered everything, and I was, you know, I had someone chop the onions. I was sauteing the onions and the garlic in a big pot, and then I was browning the ground beef and putting all the spices in there and combining it all. And we made really, really good chili. And then when they announced the winners, they announced the top three. And the guy that announced it said, okay, well, the third place chili and the second place chili. It was really close, but they announced who was in third place and second place. And neither one of them was our team. And I was thinking, you know, our chili was really good. I bet it was in the top three. And I told that to someone on my team, and he kind of looked at me like, well, you seem pretty confident. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm pretty confident. And then they announced the winner, and they said the winner was not close at all. It was like a landslide. And we won, and it was awesome. It was like our whole team was excited, and I was excited because I was the one main person who cooked the chili. And it was just really fun to do that. Like, that's something I really like to do. Not a lot of people cook, but I like to cook. And yeah. I made really good chili, and it turned out really well, and the judges all liked it, and we took first place.
You and Dad do make... I mean, you and Mom do make really good food.
And that was fun. And so I was pretty tired when I came home. I didn't get home until Wednesday, kind of late afternoon, after being at that conference all week up until then. But it was fun. It was fun to get to know a lot of people from kind of all over the country. I even got to know some people that, like, there was one attorney. He was French, but he was working for Nissan in Japan, and got to talk to him about kind of what it's like to be a lawyer and for in Tokyo. And just got to know a lot of people from all over the country, and that was really cool. Like, it was close by. I drove to it because it was here in Texas, but a lot of people had flown from all over the country to be there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It was fun. And it was fun because I won my first chili cook-off, and that was fun. But anyway, what else is going on? Easter is coming up. Easter's kind of a fun holiday.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird holiday.
It's a little, well, I mean, it's an important holiday, religious holiday, but
yeah, but I mean, like the traditions,
like the American traditions, like the Easter Bunny and stuff,
like Christmas.
And I'm going to try to stick with my no candy, and Easter candy's pretty good, but I'm still going to try to stick with my no candy.
I mean, we're still getting candy, right?
You'll still get candy. Okay. You can eat it, but I'm going to try not to. I'm not a huge fan of Easter dinner, just because the traditional Easter dinner is like ham and potatoes and rolls, which is okay. I'm not a huge ham fan. I'm going to try to find a good recipe for making ham this year.
I like ham.
I think
ham.
I will make ham.
I think ham's good.
But it's not my favorite. I don't know.
I like ham.
Maybe it'll be good.
I feel like if there were Easter movies, which I'm sure there are out there, what would, you know how it seems like Christmas holidays kind of ignore the fact, or generally Christmas movies kind of ignore the fact that it's a religious holiday and focus more on like family togetherness and stuff. What would the theme of Easter movies be about? Like, it's not about the...
Well, if it was like the religious story, like about Jesus and stuff, then I guess it'd be about that. But otherwise, I don't know.
Because would they just say like, oh, it's not about the weird egg candy. It's about that one dinner that nobody remembers that you celebrate with Easter. Remember that?
I don't know. We don't tend to have a lot of like Easter movies like you have Christmas movies.
Yeah, I mean, there's more Thanksgiving movies than that.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we could talk about is we just saw today, in fact, the movie Isle of Dogs.
Actually, I only saw it a few hours ago, but yeah, it was good.
Did you like it? I liked it.
It was kind of weird.
It was really weird, but it was really funny and really good. And it was a really good stop action animation.
Yeah.
And I liked the dogs. Like, you know, they were made of like actual fur and the expressions on their faces were just really funny.
Yeah, it reminded me, I don't know, this stop motion animation reminded me really vaguely of Shaun the Sheep, even though I know that's kind of like different.
Well, that's stop action animation too.
I mean, stop like motion animation.
Stop motion animation.
I mean, that's claymation, but still. Yeah.
Well, it's also stop action. Stop. I keep saying that. Stop motion animation, which is what Wallace and Gromit is, and although I think some Shaun the Sheep, like some of the TV ones, are a little bit more CGI.
Maybe it was the terrifying robotic dog that gets smashed into bits that reminded me of that.
Yeah. It all takes place kind of in this weird version of Japan where like dogs are outlawed or exiled to an island.
Yeah, the humor is very different than most movies. So it's kind of weird but funny at the same time.
Yeah, it's a lot like, you probably don't really remember it too well, but if you've seen The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which was by the same director... It's got a similar sense of humor as that.
I remember that vaguely.
Yeah, we should get that sometime, or maybe it's on some streaming service or something. You guys should watch it. It's really good.
Yeah.
Isle of Dogs I liked a lot, though. A lot of it takes place, because it takes place in Japan, like there's a lot of Japanese in it. And it's funny because at the beginning of it, they say that they translate some of the Japanese speakers, but the dogs are all in English. The dogs are all translated into English.
Well, yeah, they'll have like English translators in it, like actual characters.
And yeah, but some stuff they didn't translate. So it was really fast, and sometimes there was stuff talking over it. So I couldn't understand all of it, but a lot of it I could understand, and it was really good Japanese.
One of the screenwriters is Japanese, right?
Yeah. One of the screenwriters. So I think there were like three Americans and one Japanese guy.
I loved how when the boy visited the Isle of Dogs the majority of the movie, but he spoke Japanese and the dogs didn't really understand them and he didn't really understand the dogs, but they still managed to kind of understand each other, like not language-wise.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how it is between humans and dogs, right?
Yeah, well, they still like kind of followed them and like did as they said, but...
Yeah. It was good. I liked it. It was a little strange, like you say, but it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, I have a story that is very important, especially to you, and it is a science story. Science! Some scientists have come up with a theory of why it makes a sound when you crack your knuckles.
Okay, yeah, this is important to me.
You were asking about this, I think, just a little while ago, right? Like, what is the sound you make? Like, where does the sound come from when you crack your knuckles?
I've done a bit of research on it, but I don't think people...
What did you find out when you did your research? And then I'll tell you what these scientists came up with.
I think some people like said that it was because like bubbles happen in your knuckles or something like that, and they pop.
Yeah, so that's the theory, and they tried to prove it using mathematical models. So the theory has been around for a long time. Here's what they say causes the sound of knuckles cracking. It's caused by collapsing cavitation bubble in the synovial fluid inside the metacarpophalangeal joint during articular release.
That clears up so much stuff.
Doesn't it, though? That's what they said in their paper that it published. If you want to reword that in language that most of us will understand, it's the sound of microscopic gas bubbles collapsing, but not fully popping inside the finger joint.
So does it actually do any damage to your joints?
They say they actually didn't study that. There was another study in 2015 that said it doesn't appear to cause any short-term damage. So they compared people who cracked their knuckles with people who don't crack their knuckles, and there was really no difference in... I got to flip because it's kind of at the end of the article where they talk about that. In 2015, the study said it it didn't appear to produce any immediate pain, swelling, or disability, any difference between habitual knuckle crackers or those who rarely, if ever, do it. But they said further research will be needed to be done to assess any long-term hazard or benefit of knuckle cracking.
I mean,
so it didn't appear to really do anything.
My fingers get kind of sore sometimes, so I don't really know if that's from that or not.
So what these scientists did, let's give them credit. Their names are V. Chandran Suja and Abdul Bakarat from the Ecole Polytechnique in France. They did mathematical modeling. The reason why people have theories but they've never really been able to prove it is because the whole experience takes about 300 milliseconds. So it happens really quickly. So it happens kind of too quickly to really observe it. So what they did is they set up all these mathematical models to simulate what's going on, and then they could adjust the mathematical model to try and predict things, and they could change some of the variables to try and isolate what's actually happening. Here's what the scientists told, and this is an article from Gizmodo, which is kind of a gadget and science magazine blog. The scientists said, mathematical modeling is particularly useful because real-time imaging is not sufficiently rapid to capture the phenomenon involved. Another advantage of the modeling is it allows varying one parameter at a time and therefore permits determining which parameters are truly important in determining their behavior. In this regard, we found that the parameter that has the most effect on sound generated by knuckle cracking is how hard you pull on the knuckle, how fast you pull, the geometry of the joint, the viscosity of the fluid do not have a very strong effect. So the biggest thing that affected it was how hard you pull, but not how quick.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's really knuckles that can crack like pretty much anywhere on your body. Like there's like on your elbows, on your kneecaps, on your fingers, of course. Even like if you bend back your entire hand, then sometimes you can make like your wrist crack.
So the theory is that everybody has these little bubbles inside the fluid inside your joints. And when you crack your knuckle, it's the sound of those bubbles kind of collapsing but not completely popping.
Have you ever done that thing where like you're sitting down and you move your leg back and forth until your knee joints crack?
Yeah, that's a weird feeling. I don't know that I like that.
It's kind of a satisfying feeling though, at least for me.
Is it? I don't know. I'm getting more creaky the older I get.
I don't know. I got into this bad habit of like craning my neck until like one day my neck just like randomly spazzed out and it was where I couldn't turn my head one way without it hurting a bunch, and now I don't really do that anymore.
Did that stop you from doing it? That's good.
Yeah. I think it happened another time, just slightly more minor.
So that's my story, backed by science! Do you want to read your story?
Okay. This is the return of something almost forgotten and feared, once feared. Groom keeps creepy clown wedding photo a secret for a year. This is like the origin of Slenderman.
Creepy clown laugh. That's really creepy.
This says, a Texas man had a creepy clown hide in the background of one of his wedding photos and kept the shot a secret from his bride for a full year.
This is actually kind of funny.
Okay, but this is like those pictures that started Slenderman that would show like this like shadow with arms in its back next to children in the background, or like a person with no face and in the background.
So he took pictures, like wedding pictures, and like he and his wife would be like outside a door frame. like against like an old barn. There's a picture. I copied the Facebook post on the next page. You see that? So it'd be like a picture of him and his wife outside a barn. And then like inside the doorway of the barn, there was a creepy clown in the photo. But the wife never knew that the clown was there. And he kept it a secret for like a whole year.
But so as Vince Alexander said on Facebook post that he had his brother, Matt Alexander, dress as a murderous clown and stand nearby Vince and his bride, Amanda, during their wedding photos. Vince, Matt, and the photographer, Megan Bowling of Pop Color Images, kept the creepy clown picture as they... Wait, is this just the same thing repeated over and over again? But, yeah.
So, on his one-year anniversary, he gave a picture... He gave the full picture to his wife for their anniversary present. And so she saw the creepy clown for the first time. He kept it a secret for a whole year, then gave her the photo.
I'm glad she wasn't mad about
it. On the photo, on the next page, you can see the Facebook post where he's got the pictures of her holding the photo and a picture of the photo. Mm-hmm. Did you see the photo?
Yeah.
That's really funny. I'll screenshot it and put it on our Instagram page so that people can see it. I thought that was really funny, actually. Put a creepy clown in your wedding photo. I think you'd have to have the right sense of humor. It sounds like it looks like his wife had a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
So speaking of weddings, I've got a story about Florida woman. Florida woman married a tree.
You know, it's really sad that we've been talking about Florida man so much, but we've like never talked about Florida woman yet.
Karen Cooper, Florida woman, was ready to go out on a limb to save her beloved, so she got married to a tree. Specifically, a giant ficus tree that had shaded Snell Family Park in Fort Myers for more than a century. This is from the Fort Myers News Press. The tree had become the center of a neighborhood controversy when city staff began discussing cutting it down last year. Cooper, who lives in the Valencia Terrace neighborhood that includes the tree's riverfront park, began mobilizing to save it in an effort that culminated with the waterfront nuptials Saturday.
Is it even legal to marry a tree?
I don't know, but she did it. So there's this giant tree that's growing in a park, and someone was thinking about buying some property next to the park, and so the city came and did a study. And for some reason, they decided that maybe they would just chop down the tree and replace it. And the neighbors found out about it. They loved the tree. This person in particular decided that the way to save the tree was to marry it. So she got her family and friends together and held a wedding where she married the tree. It says, after a site visit last December, the city's Public Works Department okayed the tree's removal after a beautification board had been notified. In February, the board discussed spending $13,000 to cut down the sprawling tree and replace it with smaller Geiger trees. Once neighbors got wind of these plans, the protests started. Phone calls, posters, flyers, and most recently, Cooper's Saturday wedding, at which she and several other white-dressed women vowed to honor and protect it before some 50 onlookers. Even though the city appears to be backing away from its initial plans to cut down the ficus, its fate remains uncertain, Cooper points out. Cooper and her tree guardians will be there when the city council meets to decide whether to chop down the tree. For her, it's about more than green space. It's personal. If they cut down the tree, I'm going to be a widow, she said. It's a Florida woman married a tree to save it. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Wait. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So will she just forever be single?
No, she's married now. She's not single anymore. She's married to a tree.
But how is that even legal?
I don't know if she's going to change her name, though.
What are you... Like, did they have, like, wedding vows? Did they invite people to the wedding? Or do they just...
Apparently they did. There was even a wedding cake. It's a cake with a tree on it. There's a picture of a tree and it says higher love.
Did she get poison ivy in her lips?
I don't think there was any poison ivy.
Oh.
You know what a ficus tree is? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see like ficus plants as like house plants, but they grow to be giant trees. This was a giant tree version. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that it will be recognized in a court of law. But it was her attempt to save the tree by making wedding vows to save and protect it and having a wedding ceremony. So Florida woman, way to go.
Florida woman identifies as tree.
Way to go, Florida woman. All right. And that is the news. Let's do one of your favorite segments.
Ooh.
Let's do some either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
All right, let's do some either or really fast. I came up with some. Hopefully these are not ones that we've done before, but I'm never 100% sure because we've been doing this podcast for 2 years and I haven't kept a master list.
Our opinions can change.
Hopefully mine don't, because the way we play this game is I say two things, you tell me which one's right, and I tell you if you're right or wrong. So either or, first item. Bubble wrap or packing peanuts?
That's easy, bubble wrap.
That is easy. That's probably the easiest one I've ever done, and you are correct. Bubble wrap is kind of satisfying. Packing peanuts are just annoying because they get everywhere.
Packing peanuts are irritating because they're almost crunchy enough to be like snappable, but not quite. And that's really irritating.
The only good thing about packing peanuts is I don't think anyone is allergic to them.
Is anyone allergic to bubble wrap?
No, but... Well, people are allergic to peanuts, but not packing peanuts because they're not really peanuts.
Boo.
Oh, the studio audience agrees with you. But you got that one right. I'm confident today that you're going to get most of these right. So the bubble wrap was the right answer to the first either or. Second either or, jam or jelly?
I mean, it depends on the jam or jelly. I guess I'm going to say jelly.
Oh, you were doing so well. I'm afraid jam is better than jelly. Jam has a better flavor. It's got more fruit in it. Jelly is gloopy.
I think preserves might be the best.
Jelly's just gloopy. That's the problem with jam. I'm not against jelly. That's the problem with jelly. I'm not against jelly, but jam's better. Preserves are closer to jam.
I don't know. I feel like... I don't really have a favorite jam just because I usually, like, get used to having one, then I'll change it up. Like, it's kind of like how I don't really prefer, like, creamy or crunchy peanut butter. I'll just get used to having one, and then I'll change it up and be like, yeah, I'm trying something new, and then I'll change it up again.
Do you have any thoughts on marmalade?
I don't think I've actually had marmalade that much, but...
Like, orange marmalade has orange peels in it?
I've had gooseberry jam, which is very good. Yeah. We used to have it all the time, but...
I kind of like marmalade. It's a little weird, but I like it. It's closer to jam than jelly, I suppose. All right, next either or. Hawk or falcon?
What?
Hawk or falcon. You know what they are, right? They're two birds.
I'm going to say falcons.
Two birds
more,
of prey.
Falcons are more iconic.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Well, good, because you're right. Falcons are better than hawks. The thing about falcons is, a couple of things about falcons. One... The peregrine falcon is the fastest bird in the world. It dives and it can get going like over 100 miles an hour, super fast. When it's diving and it's hunting, it's a very fast bird.
Hawks are pretty.
And then falcons can be part of falconry. So you got that glove and you call your falcon and they hunt and then they land on your glove. And how cool is that?
I mean, do they really do that though?
Yeah, they do that. There's an actual thing like... you know, the Pattons, the friends of ours, they did it when they were in Scotland. They went falconing.
Oh, cool. But I don't know. I wonder how tame they are. Anyways,
you can train them. You can train them to come back to you and hunt for you.
It is cool how...
Falconry is pretty cool.
And where we live, there's a lot of hawks just flying around, and they are really cool to watch.
Hawks are pretty cool, but falcons are even cooler.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird question. All right, next one.
All right, next one. Croissant or scone? You've had some recent experience with this. You know what a scone is, right?
Yeah, that's really hard. Wait, scones are kind of like sopapillas, right?
Nope. Scones are kind of like muffins, but they're a little bit more dense. A little bit crispy on the outside.
I can't remember. Can you like pull up a picture of them on your phone or something? Because
yeah.
I'm trying to remember what they're
like. Pull it up. You know what a croissant is because we've had croissants recently. I'll pull up a picture of a scone. Here's some pictures of scones. Kind of like between a biscuit and a muffin, sort of. Usually a little bit crunchy on the outside and a little bit softer on the inside. A lot of times they have fruit in them.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say croissants.
And you are correct.
Croissants, I just love how buttery they are, and I like how they're like flaky on the outside but chewy on the inside.
Yeah, scones can be good, but croissants are better. And we had some really good croissants in Portugal and then in France in the hotel.
Come to think of it, biscuits.
The flakiness of a croissant, pretty awesome.
Biscuits are really good, though.
Like, biscuits are really good, but I didn't ask about biscuits. I know, but like croissant or scone.
Out of that category, I think biscuits might be the best.
But biscuits are a different thing than a croissant or a scone. This is either or. But this isn't like that or that or that.
Like out of like savory pastries, I guess. I don't know.
The thing about biscuits is there's kind of a wide range. I've had some really, really good biscuits, but I've had some biscuits that aren't very good. They're just kind of hard and dry.
Yeah.
So it depends on the biscuit. All right. Last either or. Sea snake or eel?
Eel.
Very good. So you got 4 out of 5. Eel is the right answer. Eels are kind of weird and creepy.
Actually, Dad, you got 4 out of 5.
But sea snakes are really creepy. Did you know sea snakes are some of the most venomous snakes in the world?
Yeah, sea snakes. I've seen a few like at scout camps or whatever, and they're pretty creepy.
Not water snakes, but sea snakes, like snakes that live in the sea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are kind of unnerving.
Yeah, they're like super venomous. You're not very likely to be bit by a sea snake, but if you do, you'll die almost instantly because they're super venomous.
I think when we went to Costa Rica, we saw a lot of eel when we were snorkeling, right?
We did see some eels, yeah.
They also taste
eels are kind of cool.
They also taste really good and go well in sushi, so.
Yeah, so unagi, which is like the, those are actually freshwater eels that they eat with sushi, and they come from freshwater in Japan. But they are eels.
So, yeah.
So, they do count as eels. But eel is the right answer between eel and sea snake.
So, yeah, sea snakes may be venomous, but eels are delicious.
Eels are delicious. I don't think anyone eats sea snakes, as far as I know. Eel is the right answer. And that is either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
All right, there's just one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
3 words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So for treat yourself, we have some snacks that we brought back from Portugal. They're very different from each other because the first snacks we're going to try are some Portuguese sardines. We've got a can of sardines here. Sardines are super popular in Portugal. Do you remember when we visited the fantastic world of sardines?
Yeah, there were sardines like everywhere from different years down to like 1930s.
So there was this store like in Portugal called the Fantastic World of Portuguese Sardines. And it was crazy. It was like this weird carnival store, like circus store. And it had like a merry-go-round, and it had like a Ferris wheel, and they were playing all kinds of music and songs about sardines.
And everything had sardines.
And everyone who worked there was like dressed up as like, I don't know, steampunk circus people. And they had sardines lining all over the walls.
Well, they're dressed up like normal sardine factory people.
But the whole thing was like a tribute to sardines because people in Portugal love sardines. It's like one of their favorite foods. And we actually didn't buy this here. We bought this somewhere else. This is a sardine tin of Portuguese sardines.
Yeah, I think I told all my friends that I was going to Portugal, and then he like contacted me. That ended up being like after, or while I was in Portugal, like, oh, well, make sure to try a sardine. And I came back and saw that, and I was like, well, I did.
That's funny. All right, so we will try a sardine. We've got some Triscuits to eat it on, because sometimes it's nice to have a sardine on a cracker. And then we also have some Kinder Bueno candy, like little candy bars. And we've got some Nutella Be Ready bars. So we're going to try these. These are more like snacks and desserts. But first, we're going to try the sardines, because I don't think you want to try chocolate and then a sardine. That'll be weird.
When I was 11, I went to scout camp, and since we usually do this every year, and I actually missed out on this, but apparently they had like a sardine eating competition.
Oh, yeah. I like sardines. And apparently Portugal has some of the best sardines in the world, but we'll see what happens. Henry, do you want to join us for Treat Yourself?
I think I used to have sardines when I was in first grade.
All right, so we have here our Portuguese sardines. They are, it says that they are sardines in olive oil with smoke and lemon flavors.
I'm kind of scared.
Put it on a cracker for you.
If you don't camp Portugal, it's been like years since I've had sardines.
Smell kind of good.
I'm mute the mics so we're not chewing into them. Sardines are super popular in Portugal. All over Lisbon, we saw these sardine stores that had like, they sold a whole bunch of sardines. What'd you think, guys?
I'm not really a huge fan of like the extremely fishy flavor. So like, just for sardines as a whole, I think I'm going to give it a meh.
Meh.
I'm going to give it a delicioso.
Meh.
I am also going to give it a delicioso. I thought these
yum.
Had a really good flavor. I thought the flavor was really mild and really tasty.
I like this.
I liked it.
I liked the smell. Like, I like the smell of cheese.
I mean, I'm okay with it. Yeah.
It's a bad smell, but it smells like it would taste good.
Yeah, it's like an interesting smell.
I mean, I'm okay with like a little bit of fishy flavor, but I don't know.
I think half of our family likes sardines. I used to eat sardines with Elizabeth when she was younger.
I think I would have them too.
And Mom used to make us go out back to eat them because they'd stink up the house.
Apparently, she got like really like scared because once she found an egg in one of them, and you're just like, yeah, sometimes they get in there, and she was like, oh no.
I think I would eat those sardines too, but yeah, I don't really like the texture either.
I liked it. I thought it was delicious. Henry thought it was delicious. William thought it was just okay.
I thought it was meh.
The next thing we're going to try.
I thought it was meh, not okay.
Let's do the Nutella bar. So I think it's like a bar, like a little, kind of like a little pastry with Nutella inside it, I think. It's called Nutella Be Ready. This is something they don't sell in this country, but they sold at the grocery store in Portugal. And so we bought some to try for Treat Yourself.
Okay.
All right,
so I have a lot of
handing it out. I'm going to mute the mics. Super crispy on the outside, super Nutella tasting on the inside.
I mean, I really like Nutella. I think that's delicious.
Any controversy here?
I feel like if I didn't like Nutella, then I'd hate this. But since I like Nutella, I love it.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Yeah, I think everybody like agrees about this. This is delicious. It's
pretty much.
It's very crunchy on the outside, but very sweet and hazelnut chocolatey on the inside. It's delicious.
I mean, pretty much anything with Nutella in it is just automatically delicious.
This next Pickles one looks like Nutella. It's going to be delicious also.
Oh,
these Kinder Buenos. They are also.
We already had these in France.
They are also.
No, we didn't.
Hazelnut flavor.
Remember when we got to the hotel and we went to the vending machines and their Kinder Buenos, but we did the bars, not the mini things in the bags.
I was too tired that night to remember, so we're going to pretend like we're doing this for the first time.
Okay.
I can't remember either.
Oh, I wonder what these are. Are they like Kinder eggs? Do we smuggle Kinder eggs?
They are Kinder Bueno minis. What do you think of those, guys?
Those are good.
Delicioso.
I think they are very delicioso.
Yum, 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 yum.
I think they're
delicioso.
I think they're even better than the Nutella thing we just tried.
I mean, it's both really good. It's like
it's really, really tasty.
I mean, it kind of has a Nutella flavor, but like minus the hazelnut part.
I like the hazelnut stuff. It was even a stronger hazelnut flavor, and very, very crispy. And
it has that like really sweet tasty. And not very dark chocolate flavor.
So I thought everything was delicious.
Luckily, there wasn't a toy inside that made us choke.
William thought the sardines were just meh.
If there were a toy inside, then we'd be smuggling Kinder eggs,
I
basically.
I know, then we couldn't have brought it back into the country. It would be illegal. We would have been stopped at the border.
We're smugglers.
We did not bring any Kinder eggs with us.
We could.
But it is Kinder chocolate.
If we wanted to smuggle them back into the country, we could just unwrap it and then swallow it, and then we'd have to be taken to the American hospital.
Oh, that would be bad. And then you choke on it and die, and everyone's like, see? See? But that's why they should not be allowed in this country.
But we'd still get them inside the country.
And get them inside your belly.
We'd put a bunch in our suitcase in pockets, and then we'd get ourselves to the hospital on the border so we'd be in America.
Or we could just be like, you can't stop me, chokes on it and dies.
That is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. So thank you, William, for being on the podcast with me. Thank you, Henry, for joining.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone who is listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We are also at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can find every single one of our episodes. You can stream them or download them there. If you want to help out the show, something you can do that will help us out is you can subscribe, rate, and review us. If you leave a 5-star review on iTunes, that helps us out because it helps us be more discoverable to other people so they can discover our podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time through.